Blog Talk Radio.
Topic is the it's a Bible religious book or code book. We're going to drop some of those codes to you so you can see exactly what I'm talking about when we talk about the Bible being a code book. First, I'd like to make an assertion. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on be what you saw. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of enlightenment. I will get what I want. Okay. Our slogan, love is to act and make others feel good, the one aim and one destiny. We all have a single aim and a single destiny. Through love, I think we'll be better off as a group, as a people, as whatever we're trying to do, even as a family, okay? We always start off with love. Love is very important. It's we've broken love down into different categories. Well, I don't know if you want to call it a category, but we're talking about the emotional part of love. We're talking about the heart, the knowing that, action, we're dealing with our culture, which is reap what you sow. Our culture is not dancing and anything else. It's reap what you sow, which is science. They just don't want to give the African continent the credit for dealing with science or coming up with the scientific mindset. But what you saw, that culture is science. So we're dealing with that also when we're talking about love, okay? Now, we also get into the different languages when we're talking about love. We're dealing with why men speak different than women, what's creating that particular mindset. I shouldn't use the term create. I don't like that word. What's making that particular mindset, okay? Now, love is an act that makes others feel good. Now, we all know that. No, we don't know that, but I'm dropping it out there for you to hear it. And I say it over and over because it's very important, because if you're in a relationship or a group, dealing with your family, and when you're thinking in terms of how do I have some type of relationship with my family, with my friends, with my cohorts or whatever, if your every thought when you're interacting with people is what can I do to make this person feel good today? What can I do to make this person feel good all the time? So you have to study. You have to learn the people around you. Because if you don't know the people around you, you will not be able to do things to make them feel good. And a lot of times when you're in a relationship, you be studying the person. You learn the person. But you also learn how to push those buttons to make to piss them off, you know, to not make them feel good, especially if they do something to you that don't make you feel good, you know. We have to remember that we're being raised in a dog-eat-dog culture. So this is an adversarial culture that we're being raised in. So our mind mostly deals with things from an adversarial point of view. That's why if you've ever read the 48 Laws of Power, it will tell you if you don't have an enemy, make some, you know, because people tend to, because of the culture that we're in, they tend to gather around you better when you throw that enemy up there, when you have that adversarial up there. Well, there's the enemy. If you deal with all of the groups, all of the religions, they have an enemy. They're spiritual people, you know, or if you want to call them that, the churches, their enemy is the devil. So they throw that devil up there. And they got all different kind of ways to explain this so-called devil to you to keep you on up and up. And that would be your punishment. The devil's there to punish you. So you have an enemy there. And most groups, political groups, like the Democrats, Republicans, both of them, the Dems are the enemy, the Republicans are the enemy. They have an adversarial position against each other. And most groups do the same thing. I know when I was dealing with the Nation of Islam, they talk about the white man, the devil, you know, so he's the actual enemy. He's the devil and we're God, you know. That's how it was taught when I was there. So all of the groups have political enemies or countries that they don't like, so they create enemies for themselves so that they can get you in that adversarial mode and get you dealing with loyalty and belief. Oh boy, those are two spells. Once you become a loyalist or you become a believer, you walk around like a zombie, you know? Well, love works the same way. You can get hooked up on a person, line it over the ballot, and you become a believer in that person. So no matter what they do or what they say to you, you know, you kind of like hang in there even though they're abusing you. In some relationships, the guys are beating up on the girls are beating up on the guys. That's right. Some of these women are fierce out here. They whoop your butt if you don't watch it, you know what I mean? But there's mental abuse too, you know? So we have to deal with that when we're dealing with the heart, you know, with love. And right now we're talking from, we're going to use the first one. We're going to mostly deal from emotion, you know. Where does emotion come from? How do you get so emotionally involved in a person that you could be there day after day, even though things are going crazy, you're still there, you're hanging in there, you're being abused, everything else, like you're all day long. But there's an emotional tie. And that emotional tie comes from your heart, because the heart gives off hormones, right? And once your heart gives off these hormones, especially in the beginning when you're first get together, taking each other out to dinner, y'all cooking for each other, everything is so good, oh man, you know, and you develop a bond through the heart with that person. And as time goes on, when the real person show up, they say, man, who in the world is this guy? Who is this girl? I said, the person I met when I first started talking to you, where did you come from? You know? Well, that person is there all the time. And most people show their good side. You know, it takes a little while for the other side to come out. And when it comes out, you're constantly hoping, constantly wishing to get that bond back that you had in the beginning, you know. But the person you were dealing with in the beginning, that ain't the person that you really fell in love with, you know, that you gave your heart to, that you gave your emotions to, you know. That's not the person that you're really dealing with. The guy or the girl that you're dealing with after about a year in, that's the real you. That's the real person that you have to deal with. And sometimes you have to make decisions, you know. Do I try to change this person or push them back into where it was before? Or do I just move on, you know? So you have to make decisions as to what's best for you. And in the tyrannical scriptures, we teach from the I, not from the we, okay? Which is going to take us into our topic. The leaders, they teach from the we. And the only time their I comes out, it's when something's wrong. Well, I tried, or I was late, or I didn't mean to do this, I meant to do it this way. That's when their eye come out when something is wrong, okay? We like to bring the eye out right from the door. When you join these groups, join these organizations, the first thing you need to ask yourself, well, what's in it for me? They don't want you thinking like that, you know? They don't want you thinking, well, what's in it for me? Well, I'm doing it for God. I'm not doing it for my own self-interest, you know? What is the best way to function? And if you're not going to get anything out of it, but your children are not going to prosper from it, don't get involved. That's my advice to you. Just don't get involved, you know. Work from the I point of view. And then if you decide to become a part of it, make sure that your I shows up. I'm there. You have to think, if I'm not there, we're not here. We can only be here if I show up. That way you have people in it, that way you begin to have more and more people in the seats. But what you have to deal with now is how is each individual coming in going to benefit? See what I'm saying? Now, you have to deal with the morality or the moral code if you have an organization. Because if you're not dealing with the moral code, that eye can be very, very dangerous, you know? And can be very selfish. So you have to learn how to deal with that eye. That's why we have robbery, murder, killing, so much stuff that's going on, because the eyes are out of control, see? now, that takes us into our topic. Is the Bible a code book or religious book? That's our title. And we're going to be teaching the Bible. I don't like to use the word teach either, because most of the information you already know, and it's just getting a different perspective. Getting a different way to look at the same information, you know. And actually, we think that an upgrade means new information, but a lot of times an upgrade just means seeing the same information in a different light, in a different way, which will trigger some of the information that you have in you that you never thought about using because it wasn't important to you at the time. There's no reason for you to use the information, you know. So that's what we're here to do today. We're here to give you a different perspective on this book. Now, the first thing I want to say is that we have our children, a lot of people taking the book, throwing it on the side, throwing it away. You know, they don't think it's such a good thing. I listen to Sonetta TV. I watch them all the time. And boy, oh boy, do they go after this Bible. Oh, man. They find the most nonsensical things to debate about. I've been listening to them. But they're really smart. I don't think I'm smart enough to debate them, but these children are really smart out here, you know. And the guy on Sonetta, or Sonetta, that's his name, Sonetta TV, the lady called in and she said, why don't we talk about money and getting people together and economics? He said, man, he tried that. He said he had 50 people show up, 50 people on the radio when he started talking like that. He said, it don't work. He said, look, honey, don't even go there. Just take your money, work with your family and the friends or anybody that will listen to you. You know, try to do it on a large scale, not like that. With the adversarial show that he has, you know, now he's getting 2,000, 3,000 people on the line, you know, calling in, you know, Whereas when you try to do something like economics and stuff like that there, you only have 30, 40 people on the line, sometimes not even that many, you know, because we were raised in we were raised under a dog-eat-dog culture. That's an adversarial culture. See what I'm saying? Now, under the dog-eat-dog culture, that eye is dangerous because you'll take what you want. It's not a question of earning and building something for yourself. You just go out and take what you want. Now, you have to think about it. How did they get the land from the Indians? How did they get everything they were supposed to have? They came and took it. That's a dog-eat-dog culture. Now, the system that we're in now was set up based on the Bible. A lot of people don't realize that, but it was. This is why President Hansen and them, right, when they first set it up, they made sure, and they said the military is a dog-eat-dog culture. They made sure that the military was under the civilian culture, which is read what you sow. This is where the Bible comes in. They wanted the people, the masses of the people, dealing with read what you sow, but the military is under the doggy dog. So in order to control that dog, you have to have a different culture to control that doggy dog person. So they put the military under a civilian leadership. See, the president of the United States is civilian, but he's in charge of the military. That's their way of keeping the military from just going around taking whatever they want, which is what they've been doing anyway. With the permission of the president, they've been taking a lot of stuff all over the planet. They're still doing it right now. But it was designed to curtail that dog-eat-dog spirit, you know? Because when you got power, we got power right now through the weapons and stuff that we done stole, robbed, murdered, forced people to do for us so that we can get to the point that we have these nuclear weapons and all that kind of stuff, you know. We have a powerful instrument. And this instrument in the hands of a dog-eat-dog person will create a lot of problems. Case in point, if you think about Hitler, strictly under the dog-eat-dog culture, you know, without nothing to reel him in, it was just, hey, whatever I can take, I'm taking. You know, the only way you stop me is to stop me. You know, that's the problem with dictatorships. See, the only way you get rid of a dictator is you got to kill him. You can't vote him out. How else are you going to get rid of him? You have to do a military coup. You just have to kick him out of office, you know. And that's why we try to stay away from the dictatorships as much as possible. We try to move away from the king and queen situation as well, because that's situation where you're fine with family rule, family dynasties. When they first came into Kemet, when the Europeans first came into Kemet, Kemet was under the king and queen situation. You know, that's why they adopted that. You know, Britain and all them adopted the king and queen situation. They were living on that for a long time until the people just got tired of the king and queen situation and started knocking them off. They knocked off whole families, you know, because they were raised to think that it's their birthright to rule over somebody else, okay? Now, let's get into why we call the Bible a code book. They took this book, conquered the known world with it. If you notice, before the Bible, before they adopted the Bible, they couldn't conquer too much of nothing. They was out there trying. Well, they couldn't conquer too much of nothing. And most of the Europeans that had power had black generals because the black generals had the military strategy. They were the best military strategists on the planet, including St. Maurice. He was the general under Constantine, you know. And it's because of his military prowesses they were able to do so much. Same thing with Alexander. They call him the Great, but he was just anyway. Alexander, he had black generals too, because the black generals had the best strategy at that particular time, coming out of Kemet, you know, coming out of Africa, you know. So now things are starting to switch around a little bit, and we have this power. Now let's deal with this code book, okay? I'm not viewing the Bible as a religious book, not anymore. And now that I know how to read it, now that I know what it's all about. Now, the first code, the first cipher that we have to deal with is Psalm 82. That's a major, major key to understanding the book. Now it gets a little tricky because the thing that you realize once you get into these codes, it changes how you think about the stories in the book a whole lot. You know, each one of the stories has a moral to them. You know, like they used to teach us all the time about the boy who cried wolf. That was about lying. You know, when you do say something that's true, they're gonna believe you because you lie so doggone much. Then I believe that's why Trump's going to lose election this year because of all the lying that he done did, you know, and they nicknamed him the Lion King, you know. So let's deal with the first code. The first code of Psalm 82. You are all, I said, ye are all gods, okay? Now let's put that code on the entire book, okay? Let's start right from the, well, I don't want to go right from the beginning, but every time, well, we can go anywhere in the book we want once we use that particular cipher. Every time they mention God said or did something, they're talking about a man, all right? Think about it for a minute. Psalm 82, you're all gods. Now we say, well, what evidence do they? Other evidence that they have that a man can be God? If you deal with the story of Moses, Jehovah made Moses a god, and Aaron was his prophet. And you can read the story yourself. I'm not gonna go through verse by verse with you, but those of you who deal with the Bible, and most of us are coming out if you're a certain age. You dealt with that book because parents were so influenced by the book that we became believers. See, now, belief, that's a spell. Once you're under that spell, you really become a zombie, and it's hard for you to go past what your leaders have been telling you in reference to what the book means and what the book says. So this is a different thought process that you're going to be under, period. When you deal with the book as a code book rather than as a religious book, because it's not a religious book. Jesus himself, according to what they said that Jesus said, right, never mentioned Christianity or any religion that he was under, okay? And his first followers, they didn't consider themselves as religious people, you know? And they didn't call themselves any religious name. They called themselves the Gnostics, which means know is the truth. So, okay, let's deal with this first cipher to show you how this thing works. Okay, first of all, one of the most important stories dealing with Yahshua is the story of Mary. All right, now I know we get a lot of calls on this one, boy. They're going to say, oh, man, this big girl's out of his mind. But let's put the code, you're all gods, on the story of Mary, okay? Mary was such a righteous person. She was raised in the church. Mary was a Levite. She was such a righteous person. They wouldn't even let her walk outside the church. She couldn't go nowhere unless on consecrated ground. This is how important Mary was to the church. Now, Joseph met Mary when he used to go to the church, because he was a carpenter. He used to do carpenter work for the church, although he was kind of an elderly person. But he used to do carpenter work for the church. Now, deal with this. Now, think about this. Mary said, God made her pregnant. Now, if you put the code on it, right, and watch how where this code takes you, right? God made Mary pregnant. And the only men that the general public was considering as God was the high priests in the church. All right? So one of those high priests, God, which is a man, made Mary pregnant, which would be penalty of death to desecrate a female like that. And that would have been such a scandal in the church. So what they did, they passed Mary off to Joseph and framed it so that Joseph told not to tell nobody, okay? And Mary, she didn't know that these gods were men. So she said, I was touched by no man. I was only touched by God. So if she was touched by God, she was touched by a man or a person that she didn't feel as though was a man. This is the code. Now, think about when you put the code on these stories, you get a whole different paradigm from these stories. Mary was raped by one of the high priests in the church, which was considered a god, but he was a man, right? That's called the Psalm 82, right? See what I'm saying? And Mary was passed off to Joseph, and he told Joseph not to tell nobody because they said they was going to stone Mary because Mary was pregnant out of wedlock. Why would they stone a little Mary? One was, 14, something like that there. Why would they stone Mary? And she's 14, and she done been raped by somebody in the church. You follow what I'm saying? That person that raped her in the church would have been stoned to death. And it would have been such a scandal in the church that they covered it up. And that's how they covered it up. They passed Mary off to Joseph and told Joseph not to tell nobody. You see what I'm saying? And Mary, a little teenager, a little kid, you know, and they tell her that no man didn't touch her, it was God. You know what I'm saying? And she could go along with that because she didn't know any better. That's where that code, now think about it, that's where that code takes us. And the same thing is going on in the church right now. They pedophile and all kinds of crazy stuff in the church and covering it up. But see, we didn't know, if you're not dealing with the code, we wasn't thinking in terms of these high priests and stuff, pedophiling and raping people in the church. You know, we didn't think that happened, but it's telling me it's been happening all the way back to the time of Mary and Joseph. Okay? Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of slack on that. When I hang this phone up, boy, my phone will be ringing like crazy. But if you got a negative comment or whatever, you can always chime in and we can talk about it. You know, this is an interactive show. We'd have a problem with that. Okay? That's just where the code takes us. Okay? Now, let's talk a little bit about the Immaculate Conception. So they say, well, they say Jesus was born in the Immaculate Conception. Yes, he was. That doesn't take away from Yahshua ben Fedora and who he was. You understand? It just lets you know a little bit about the church, right, and what was going on back then during the time that's still going on today, right? Now, let's deal with the Immaculate Conception, right? When the seed goes into the egg, there's a light that comes into the egg that puts the egg and the seed into motion. They have videos of this, okay? You can watch this, you can see this, they have videos of it, and because this is 2020, you know, we don't have to just take stuff because somebody says it. There's scientific evidence to prove what's being said. Now, the scientists, they don't know where the light comes from or what the light's all about. They're studying it. But they have videos of the light activating that cell, okay? Now, the light is not from the mother or the father. That's the Immaculate Conception. Now, think about this for a minute. It's a new way of thinking about all this stuff. Every child born is born under the Immaculate Conception. I'm going to say that again. Every child born is born under the Immaculate Conception, see? That light coming from source energy, okay, activates that egg. Okay, once your seed goes in there, you know. Now, why is that so important? Because every child is a Christ. All your children are Christ, and every woman is a Mary. Every woman is special, you know. And here's something else, just something else for you to think about, right? Now, I know you're not here, you never heard this stuff before, but I'm dropping it, okay? Here's something else for you to think about. If every woman is a Mary, that means that the woman, okay, now think about this for a minute, the woman, whether she has sex or not, is a virgin until she has her first child. As long as a woman don't have a first child, whether she has sex or not, that female is a virgin. All right? They used to give us, tell us little things like that, so many demonic stories, you know, the devil didn't want to have didn't want to have a baby with a virgin, with a woman that hadn't been pregnant before. she had to prove, her womb had to prove itself that it's capable of handling the baby, because they didn't want to because they didn't want nothing to happen to the first seed. You see what I'm saying? They want to make sure that belly was prepared, can do it. They wanted the belly to be proven that it can handle these babies, you know. They work for Rosemary's Baby. They had all kinds of stories about that. But see, they do things in a way because you don't understand the book. You don't know how to read the book. They do things in a way so that you don't know what's going on. Now, imagine this particular paradigm becoming known to the public. You know what I mean? So whether the woman has sex or not, the sex itself has nothing to do with her virginity. The belly, see, her womb having that first child, that's what has to do with her virginity. So until a woman has her first child, she's a virgin. That's something to think about. Now, I know you're saying, wait, what is this Negro talking about? I know you never heard this type of talk before, because you haven't been reading the Bible as a code book, you see. You've been reading the Bible as a religious book. But it's not really a religious book. Religions have used it, especially the Christians. The Christians took the book and went crazy with it. You know what I mean? But the teachings of Jesus and Moses and all them have nothing to do with Christianity. You see what I'm saying? They took the Europeans, once they got a hold of this book, I think the first time they used it as a religious book was coming through Constantine and Nazi and all that kind of stuff. You know, those of you who study the book, you know what's going on, you know. But dealing with the book as a code, it tells you so much, okay? Now, let's break down something else dealing with this code, right? Oh, wait a minute. We're halfway through the hour. Normally, I'll do my little commercial halfway through the hour. But let's do one more code before I get into the commercial, because until you begin using the Bible as a code book, we're not going to get out of this mess that we're in. They took this book, Europeans took this Bible and conquered the known world with it, because they know what's going on, okay? So we did the first thing for you all guys. Now, so that's the main cipher that you have to put in the book. Everywhere that they mention God, they're talking about a man, according to Simon U2. Everywhere. If we're dealing with a code, now we got to take the belief out of it. We got to come out of this spell that we have it, and we have to deal with the with the book not from an emotional point of view, but from from our cultural point of view, which is read what you sow, which is science. Okay, sure, they use the term science, but because they don't want to give you credit to be scientists. We were raised as scientists thousands of years before they decided to use the term science. We have been scientists, okay? Well, before I go into the next cipher, let me do my little commercial, because I like to get back to to the people that have been on the radio every day trying to bring us light. Now, I don't agree with everything they be saying, but they're trying it. Everybody's doing the best they can, and we have to respect that. You know, we have to help each other, push each other. I go to different churches, right? Even though I don't agree with the preacher saying all the time, but they're trying. He's trying to do the best they can. They're trying to do the best they can. So I support the church. I support different groups and stuff like that there. But I have a different work to do. I have a different calling. My calling is to bring a different light to the people that's around me so that they can see things from a different point of view, so they can get a different outlook on things. Whether they agree or not, it doesn't really matter. The most important thing is that I get to say this stuff. I get to put it out on the airwaves so that at least they can hear it. They say, man, this nigga out of his mind. But they heard what I'm saying. They have a chance to think about it. And it'll be between them and source energy how they react to it later on when they hear certain things coming back at them, okay? I know I'm going to catch it with the story of Mary, but that's what the code says, okay? This is an interactive show. I'm Elohim Five Tribes Radio presents Elohim Speaks at 8 to 9 p.m. Philadelphia time. The call number is 516-443-9230. Press 1 if you want to give us a shout out. Now, we do not mention your name unless you want us to. We only use the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you have a company or a group and you want to give a shout out, if you have a church or religion or something like that there, you want to advertise, it's free. You don't charge nothing to advertise on a show. We get our little buckets from CD sales, book sales, and stuff like that there, you know. So that's where our buckets coming from. So we don't have to charge you for being on the radio, okay? We're not on the radio every day. We're just here on Sunday. We're going to be here on Sunday, well, for the next couple months or so. We're just going to do Sunday until I can figure out until I get some of this work caught up, right? I'll be so tired during the week around 6 o'clock, okay? Because I get up 4 o'clock in the morning. So Sunday, we're talking about religion, Tyrannical Church of Christ and a lot. That's the name of our church, which is related to people, because the only real church is you as an individual. You're the church, okay? We use that term because the government, church and state, is separate. So this allows us to do things knowing that church and state is separate. Now, we have releases, a gospel CD. We talk about Jesus. Jesus is a bad boy. Why can't I tell you? I mean, so we release a gospel CD, 911 Jesus Emergency, Jesus Coming, and the CD link, CD Baby, /CD, Elohim Christ 2, that's the number 2. Now, I'm going kind of fast, so you can always stop me and hit 1 on your dial and let me know that you have something to say or that you that you want to get some of these numbers again, you know. We're doing a repeat a number or something for you, okay? All right? So, so if you're on YouTube, just click on Elohim Christ 10 Tracks, Jesus is Coming. And we ask ourselves, when Jesus comes back, where is he coming from? But we think he's coming from the same place he came from the first time, out of the goddess of the womb, okay? So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. That child you dumped, Justin might be the one to get us out of this mess that we are. So take care of so don't take our chance away from us. We need those babies. Just remember, it takes two to make them, so it takes two to take care of them. So your brother, step up and help these women take care of these children, okay? Okay, now don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2, The Christ Has Come. More information on a book or CD, because the book is in paperback and CD. Just call TCCA at 215-758-1703 from 9 to 5. That's Monday through Saturday, and you'll be able to get information about the book or get the book if you'd like to. Also, I'm in the gold business. Yes, I buy and sell gold. It's called Carrot Bar. So if you're interested in buying and selling gold, learn how Bitcoins work and how to get into that, just give me a call. It's the same number. 215-758-1703. My email is elchristalim@gmail.com. elchristalim@gmail.com. Please don't forget to visit my website at elchristalim.website/website. That will take you right to my website. And you can find a little more information about what we're up to and what we're doing, what we have coming up in the future, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Hans Butler for his Black History book on Rock's Cry Out. I like him because he understands history and he does a pretty good job with proof of what he's saying. Okay, I'd like to give a shout out to the Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Mack and Son. Comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. And the call number for that show is 319-527-6199. Okay? And it's on 6 o'clock Saturday. They had a nice show yesterday. I'll be on his show this Saturday with him, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube by the name Kamitra Levin. She has a spoken word, and she speaks the word pretty good, too. So you can catch her on YouTube on the Kamitra 11, the spoken word. I'd like to give a shout-out to Nikki Love. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on YouTube at Nikki Love Wunam, WNOM, okay? Her calling number is 909-749-8626. Now, I'm a spiritual reader. She's a spiritual reader. So we did a reading on each other. She's pretty good. I was impressed, you know. I do readings all the time. And the reading I did on her, she did a reading on me. It turned out pretty good. So that's why I give her a shout out, because she's the real deal. Okay. Now I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, UNIACL. That's an organization that was started by Marcus Garvey. 1929 of the world. They meet every week. For more information, contact President Mark P. at UNIA 267-822-2320. I'd like to give a shout out to the UAIA. They're offering land to build in Africa. Think about that. You need land in Africa, they can get it to you real cheap. I think around $5,000, you can get the land and build a property complete for about $5,000. That's not bad at all, you know. Just contact RBG Industries. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. I have 4x3 seats from Brother, and my seats wear pretty good, you know. If you give them a call at 609-638-5828. Now we're talking about Sycamore Electronics, the call-in number. If you want some electrical work done in the house, lights flickering, and things going crazy, just give the young brother a call. His number is 215-909-3352. Stick my chest out. That's my son's company. He does all my electrical work, and he does a really good job, okay? Now, if you're in a security, and you're looking for a job in security, just give Brother a call at 336-988-8638. If you're looking for a job in security, he's looking for workers right now, okay? I'd like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton. He goes under the name, he has an old school style. He goes under the name of Tom, of T. Thornton. He changed his name a little bit. I just found that out a couple of weeks ago. He has about 7 CDs on the market, and they're pretty good. He does gospel, and he does regular music as well, okay? Just Google YouTube Heaven 2019, T. Thornton, for more information. And for more information, just call 267-259-4077. I'd like to give a shout out to Taylor Tuck Learning Academy. Right now, she's full. She has a waiting list. Oh, yes, she's just that good. Licensed, certified. She's a registered nurse who's currently in medical school. I stick my chest out again. That's my daughter. Taylor Tuck Learning School. So, you know, give her a call. She has a before and after service in the West Philadelphia area. So for best quality of children's service, call 610-688-8352 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., okay? Monday through Friday, okay? Now, her email address is phillipshouselearningacademy@gmail.com. Okay? I'd also like to give a shout-out to our present naturopathic healers. We got Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864. Now, Dr. Paul is offering free herbal charts. So anybody that call in, he'll text you the herbal charts so you can check out and just get them from these herbs. And Dr. Bill, he's selling water purification systems. So if you need a water purification system, just check out Dr. Bill and you can get your water purification system. So if you're sick and you're not calling one of these specialists, you deserve to be sick. No, nobody deserves to be sick. So you're not going to say that. But just give them a call and don't worry. Be healthy. Okay. we're now done with our commercial, and let's get back into the show. Now, remember, this is an interactive show, so if you have a comment or something that you want to do, just give us a call, okay? And if you have a comment, just press 1 on your dial. Press 1 on your dial, and you'll be able to, and that will let me know that you have a comment or you have something to say, okay? So let's continue with the Bible code book. A religious book. And if you have a comment or if you disagree with something, just press 1. Feel free to say whatever you say. Now, we don't debate the book. We're not going to sit here and debate the Bible with you, okay? We got thousands of different groups out there. Everybody got some kind of opinion or whatever about the book. We will allow you to say whatever you want to say. You can make your comment, get your comment in, say what you have to say. And then we can, and then there might be other people on the line that agree with you, that might have the same opinion that you have. And then y'all can interact on the line, get each other's number, and then if you're trying to promote your church or whatever, then you can do that. If you got a business that you're trying to promote, see what I'm saying? just give your opinion and give your thoughts on the subject that we're talking about. And right now we're talking about the Bible as a code book or religious book, okay? Now we talked about one code, that's Psalm 82. Now remember, it tells you, you are God. Everywhere it mentions God, right? They're talking about a man. Is there another reference to a man being known as God in the book? Yes, there is. In Genesis, Jehovah made Moses a god and Aaron a prophet. Okay? That's why they have some questions. Well, no man is supposed to see God face to face. How could Moses be talking to God face to face? Well, Moses wasn't considered a man. He was considered a god. Can you have God talking to God? See, that's what I'm saying. Once you put the code on it, when you read the book, things begin to make sense. So that's a contradiction. They say nobody can see God face to face and live. Moses wasn't a man. Moses was a god. Okay? So God was talking to God. It wasn't a man talking to God. It was God talking to God, even though there's a little code, even though they were all men. But if you understand the code, you begin to see how there's a little nuances, little differences in the way the book is set up. And that way you can see that there's no discrepancy in the book. Right? Now, some of the translators, they did things they weren't supposed to do. Just like, let's just go a little further here, you know, just to give you some food for thought, give you a different way of thinking about this stuff, okay? In Genesis, right, when I use the term create, making something from nothing, and according to our code, right, according to our culture, which is science, science is our culture, read what you saw is the science of the culture. That's our culture. You can't make something from nothing. You have to have something to make something. So nobody in the book was created. We were made. Oh, my goodness. What do you mean we were created? According to our culture, which is science, you can't make something from nothing. Okay? The uncaused cause, that's far back as we can go. I'm just going to say this quickly. I don't want to dwell on this too long. The uncaused cause, when energy went into motion, the only thing that was here was the energy. We are all made from that energy. We weren't made something from nothing. That just didn't happen. So I'm just going to go real quickly here. You are actually the universe expanding itself. That's why you have no limit. What we did 20 years ago, we're doing better. What we did 40 years ago, we're doing better. 20 years from now, we're going to be doing better. There's no limit to God. See? There's no limit to God. Why are they calling you God? Because you can manipulate source energy for your own benefit. Okay? You are extensions of source. You were made by source. That's why in Genesis, it talks about let us make man. We're going to make this. We're going to make that. The translators threw that word creation in there. That's a mistranslation. I'm telling you right now. You were not created. You were made. Everything was made. Okay? This is why you're so powerful, because you weren't created from nothing. Now, see, that mindset that they want you under when you talk about I was created, that mindset is given to you by every religion on the planet. Why? Because if you think you were created by something, that makes you less than and not equal to something. It's that mindset that they put on you so that they can dominate your flesh. All right? Now, it says in the book, you have control over all flesh. That's what it says in the book. So if you have control over flesh, what's the main purpose of 1%? They want control over your flesh because the flesh is the money. The spirit don't be making no money. The flesh is where the money comes from. If they can control your flesh, man, they control the money. I see my friend on the line. let me put him on the hot seat for a minute and see if he have a comment or something to say. Or at least he can tell us about what's coming up next Saturday on his show. 1929, you know I was going to do it. Goodness in the show, you know what I'm saying? I'll put you on the hot seat. 1929, you have a comment or something you want to say? Or if you just want to tell us about what you're going to be talking about next week on your show.
I had a couple of puzzles. That came up as you were talking about the Psalm 89 that says ye are I'm sorry
Psalm 82
Psalm 82 that says we are all gods. Perhaps a definition for the layman might be in order, and might give perspective as to what does the term refer to? What can a god do? And what limitations are placed on a god?
Well, see, the only limitation that's placed on God in this dimension is the flesh, because we can fly, but you can't flap your wings and fly. You can't just jump up and fly and fly. You have to use your intellect to bring flight into existence. So the limit on God is the flesh itself. This is why everyone's fighting to control your flesh. This is what slavery and all that stuff is, you know. If they can control your flesh, they can control what you think, what you think you can do and what you can't do, what they allow you to do and what they allow you not to do. Because remember, God is unlimited. There's no limit to God. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Which is coming from your incorporeal self. We're talking about the spirit. They come up with all different kinds of names. You can see they got the spirit, the soul, and all this kind of stuff. But that's your incorporeal entity that dwells in the flesh. That's the actual God. That spirit self that's in you, that's the actual God. And which is incorporeal. Incorporeal energy can't live in this dimension without it being surrounded by flesh. So since you asked that question, maybe next week we'll go into exactly how we got from the incorporeal dimension into this dimension to become who we are, become this physical manifestation that we are. But God is one who manipulates source energy for its own purpose.
That puts it into perspective. A god is one who manipulates energy to his own design.
Right. And once you can manipulate source energy, there's no limit. You know, nuclear weapons, going to the moon, you know, there's no limit to what we can do, you know. And it's like when you put the cipher, the code, if you go into Genesis and put that cipher on the code, you know, we're dealing with God making the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that. Well, that was your ancestors putting all that stuff out there, you know. And what is the evidence that we can do something? Because the moon is a satellite. What is the evidence that we can do a satellite? We have satellites up there now, and it won't be long before they won't be made out of metal. They'll be made out of dirt. You know, they'll be made out of material that we can grow stuff from, you know. So, yeah, we can... We're coming into the technology that we used to use when we made the sun, when we made the solar systems and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Because source energy You don't need to make a soul, a planet to live on, because everything is source energy. That's why Muhammad came up with the all, or Allah, as they call it. Everything in the universe is source energy. Everything in the universe is the Most High. That's why in the book it says you're all gods, children of the Most High. It don't mention Most High and God in the same sentence, but the Most High is not God. The Most High is everything that's made out of energy is the Most High. See what I'm saying? So it gets a little tricky, but God is one. That's why they have lesser gods, and, you know, because like an ant manipulates energy for its own purpose. Ants are very good horticulturalists. You know, they can go and rearrange a whole doggone forest. Like the gorilla uses a tool to get his little insects so he can eat, you know. Well, they're manipulating the energy for their own purpose, but they're not manipulated on a scale that we're manipulating it. You follow what I'm saying? So you do have lesser gods when you think in terms of one who manipulates energy for his own purpose, you know? I hope that sort of answered the question. It's a little wild to answer the question in layman terms, but I hope that did it. Brother Mac.
I was going to say, Brother Elohim, it does answer the question. However, the answer sort of clashes with the traditional, the religion and the concept of God that we have been taught in Christendom, that says you don't question God. After you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you can't go back, because that's blasphemy. And so when we come into a greater or a different understanding, you can see that it might cause a lot of turmoil in our thinking process, because what we are learning from you is, let's say, in many instances, just the opposite of what we had been taught up until now.
Well, that brings us to John 17. I noted that down. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. See, that he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given them. So we have power over all flesh. Now, here's the thing. They tricked us out in Genesis. See? This is what the Montefiore did to throw our mind off. He's calling flesh meat. But in Genesis, we don't call flesh meat. Flesh or meat is, we only got about 1 minute left. But if you read the story of Genesis, herbs and fruit and fruit bearing plants, that was given to us for meat. Okay, so we have an unbalanced way of thinking about flesh because of what they did to us in Genesis, how they're flipping things around to keep us from getting the codes done. But before I finish, let me do my closing assertion. I walked the path as divine energy today and did not break the universal law of yourself. As energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown today. Well, all energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown today. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. That's coming from the reap what you sow culture. Okay. Now, the whole thing is, they're changing. They've changed the paradigm so that they can control your flesh. That's what they're
Yeah.
This is all wrong. If they control the flesh, they control the money. And everything is about control. That's why our national anthem. Well, we only got about 10 seconds, so let me do this here. You can catch Mac on Saturday. You can catch Mac every Saturday at 6 o'clock. He's on the air with every Saturday at 6 o'clock. And, that's my alarm going off. You can catch Mac every Saturday at 6 o'clock. And I'd like to thank everybody for being on for being with us today. And, spending time with us today. And thank you, Brother Mac. I appreciate that. That's the Legacy Foundation. So hopefully that now somebody's hand is going up. We're out of time. We're no longer screaming. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and bring this person on. We're actually off the air right now. We're no longer streaming. But now the phone goes up. Normally I don't do this. I just go ahead and close out. 7566, you have a comment or question? Seven five six six. You have a comment or question? I see your hand up. Your mic is open. Okay, they probably just hit the button. All right. Okay. So with that, we're going to close out, and I will talk to you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Okay. Thank you so much for listening, and Brother Mac, I appreciate you checking in with me on Sunday. I love your comments, and you help us keep it real. Well, with that, I'm going to say
thank you, Brother Elohim. Be well. Much love.
Mm-hmm.